Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Uh-oh, we might be driving the pink car through Miles City. We might be driving the pink car through Forsyth on our way to Glendive tomorrow. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I might have to drive my pickup depending on the snow report anyway. If there's some bad weather moving in, I want the four-wheel drive pickup, not some car that may not be able to handle the snow. But, hey, that's all right. We're tough enough to wear pink in Montana, especially if there's a rodeo going on. Even if there's a Glendive Agri Trade Expo, we can drive a pink car to Glendive. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we're driving the country station vehicle or the top 40 station vehicle, or if I just choose to drive the old pickup instead, just in case. Let's see. Yeah, looks like we should get some snow here in the area. Maybe not today, but maybe into tomorrow. So either way, man, we're so excited to get to Glendive tomorrow for the Glendive Agri Trade Expo. The only downside to tomorrow is with the legislative session underway in Helena, a lot of the Glendive, Savage, Sydney, Lindsay, you name it, you name some great eastern Montana towns, a lot of those lawmakers will still be in Helena, and oftentimes we'll get a chance to run into them while we're at the gate show in Glendive as well, on top of all the other great, you know, agriculture, energy, business, you name it, types of guests that we'll get a chance to catch up with tomorrow. We should be here this morning. We should be getting a phone call any moment from Montana Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell for our weekly legislative update. And then Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula will join us a little after 9:20 this morning. Tomorrow, even though the current lawmakers will be in Helena for the legislative session, we are hopefully going to get a chance to catch up with former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh out of Weibo, you know, because now that he's termed out of the state Senate, well, hey, we can maybe have him sidekick with us a little bit on the show tomorrow. So, but yeah, we'll have microphones open for anybody who's going to be at the gate show from across Montana, especially eastern Montana. Seriously, open microphones. Come down and join us. We'd love to catch up with you. Here are some of the legislative headlines that are standing out here on this Thursday morning before we get into our legislative update with leadership from both parties. Here's just a few that stood out to me. Montana Republican lawmakers propose bills in response to held decision. That's from the Montana Television Network. NBC Montana has this. Republican bills changing Montana's Environmental Policy Act move forward. So that's some good news there. I've always wondered this, you know, it's like we already have a NEPA, so then why do we double down with a MEPA? We already have the National Environmental Policy Act, and that can be reformed, but then we double down with more onerous regulations through the MEPA, through the Montana Environmental Policy Act. So let's streamline this stuff so we can make Montana great again, and especially get industry back up and running again. That'd help out with property taxes and more.
Easy.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. We've got Montana Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell with us on the phone lines for a weekly legislative update. Let's start with Medicaid expansion. Mr. President, I caught up with you briefly during the break, and it looks like agree with it or disagree with it. Medicaid expansion, the renewal, the reauthorization. They've got the votes in the House. They've got the votes in the Senate. Like it or not, that's how the die have been cast here. But that being said, I was pleased when you told me that, wait a minute, there are still some things that we can do. We can and we should, for example, add a work requirement, a court-proofed work requirement to this. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what you still think can be done regarding some left-right limits on Medicaid expansion.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. Yeah, it's Medicaid expansion as is, it passed the House, and we've got it over here in the Senate. But what we did in the Senate here was we had a bill to sunset it. And just have a soft enrollment, just no new enrollees, and that didn't get the votes. We were six votes short of passing that to just sunset the program. So there is an appetite to continue the program, which to me is unfortunate. A lot of different things there on Medicaid expansion that we've talked about before, but the big one is back in 2018, the voters, that went to a referendum. The Medicaid expansion was on the ballot, and the voters of Montana said, we don't want to keep this program going. So it's kind of disappointing for me that we're going against the will of the voters there by continuing this program. But if the votes are there to continue it, let's do what we can to make this as accountable to the taxpayer as possible. And some things like that are putting in a work requirement or just even a lifetime benefit for able-bodied adults. If you're an able-bodied adult on this, you can't just stay here. It's not a safety hammock for you. It's a temporary thing. Get on your feet, get moving. Have those kind of qualifiers in this program. I think we'll hold the people accountable. And at the end of the day, I think it's best for the people that are on that program to have some accountability.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I saw a guest opinion column written up by a newly elected Republican representative out of Northeast Montana. I think it was Representative Moore, and she was saying all the reasons why she supports continuing Medicaid expansion. And after I read that, I'm like, okay, but why not add in a work requirement? That just seems a court-proofed work requirement. It just seems like common sense here for those of us that actually work and pay the bills around here, right? And don't get all the so-called free stuff because we all have to pay for it. What's some of the other major legislation that's moving this week in particular?
Well, and one more before we hop off Medicaid expansion that's not talked about on this program. This program's $1 billion just for the expansion part, $2.5 billion for traditional Medicaid. So a lot of money in that. But the part that's not talked about is they call them supplemental payments on Medicaid expansion, and that goes back to hospitals to help, quote, make them whole. And it's up over $300 million a year that's going back to these hospitals, and there's no strings attached. So even if the program goes forward the way it is, that's another thing that we could do is hold hospitals accountable, whether it's infection rates and patient care, that kind of qualifiers to say, hey, you just don't get a blank check back from the government. You're going to hop in bed with the government. You're going to get the government bureaucracy that goes with it and the standards. So that's another big change to the Medicaid program that if we are going forward, I think is very reasonable. And the taxpayers, it's pro-taxpayer. So that's one thing I just wanted to add on there of the conversations that's happening. We're trying to make the best out of that program. Other things that are going through, some things that probably aren't talked about a whole lot is, like marijuana. We're still dealing with some marijuana. Obviously, there's marijuana revenue now, like it or hate it, that program's going and how do we use that? Does it go back to law enforcement? Does it go back to mitigate the negative effects of marijuana? We're looking at that as well as THC. THC has grown exponentially. These are very potent stuff now. And putting limits on THC to make it as safe as we possibly can. So those are some things that I think aren't talked about a lot, but yeah. Moving through, we got,
I think so, I saw it.
On the marijuana one
in particular here, I saw the UM News Service, which is students from the School of Journalism covering the legislature. They have a bill. Legislators consider criminalizing youth exposure to marijuana. That is Senate Bill 261, which would make exposing a child to marijuana and other dangerous drugs or forcing them to consume the drugs a punishable offense. I'm assuming we already have laws like that regarding alcohol, so it would just kind of make sense that they would have something with marijuana as well. Is it the correct assumption there?
Yep, exactly, right on. That's there's a lot of negative effects to the marijuana industry, and making sure kids don't get a hold of it is one. Another one is drinks. They're doing marijuana drinks now with THC in it. That, I mean, I didn't know about that until I get to the legislature here. And it's a topic that we're debating of how do we regulate that and make sure the kids don't get that. So, yeah, there's multiple aspects here. I know the marijuana conversation has kind of gone downstream, but we're still dealing with it here to make it as safe safe as we can.
Yeah, as we can. That's a good point. Well, we've had Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, talk about it, and she's made the point, look, this isn't your 1970s Arbor Day kegger Missoula marijuana. Sometimes this stuff is 20 times more potent and causing mental issues and so much more. So, like he says, that industry is fast moving with new products, especially targeting kids. Okay, hold that thought, Mr. President. If you can, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this for a couple more quick updates, and then we'll get to hear from Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go back to Senate President Matt Regeer for a couple more minutes, and then we should have Representative Jonathan Carlin on right after that. President Regeer said, well, what do you guys want to talk about? And again, one of these days, we'll have both of these gentlemen on for the full hour, taking your phone calls and more. But we, you know, we're trying to A, provide people with legislative news, but then also still have free time to talk about other things as well. So, but every now and then we need to do a full hour. So we'll do that here. But Mr. President, I love this idea you mentioned off air to me, motor vehicle registration fees. And these fees can be outrageous. Look, what's one of the best things you could do for the environment if you're concerned about those sorts of things? Buy a newer car, buy a newer vehicle. But some people are like, man, if I go buy a newer vehicle, I got to pay these outrageous registration fees every year. You were telling me somebody's actually got a bill to dramatically reduce those fees.
Yeah, this is one I'm real excited about. Senator Hertz has a bill, and he's proposing to drop. So right now we have the permanent license after 10 years, so that which that's my car right there. So this actually won't affect me, but this will affect a lot of Montanans that have that newer car between 1 and 5 years, and cutting that registration in half, and then also dropping between 5 and 10 years your car, dropping that one too. A lot of that money, I did not realize, goes to the state general fund. And as we've talked about before, the state general fund has $520 million more we're taking in a year than what we need to operate state government. So we need to stop taking money from Montanans. Where are we going to do that? Here's one proposal to make it easier to register your car. That money doesn't need to be going to the general fund. That should stay back with the car owners. So I'm real excited about that. It's in drafting right now. But I think it's something that affects all of Montana. Let's make it easier to drive. And you talk about property tax. Somebody brought that up too, of this is property. It's just not your home. It's your car.
Yeah.
It's a reduction in your property tax or your property of your car.
And a lot of people, that's what you use for work, to get to and from work. And, or maybe you work construction, and so you need a newer pickup or a pickup or something that might be worth more value. And so, but yet you're going to, it really is what you might call a regressive tax, where it hits the working class people harder than wealthier folks in particular, because unlike the income tax, where is if, hey, we're all paying 4.7%, well, the wealthy still pay a lot more because they make a lot more. Whereas this thing, if you're, you know, you're paying straight up dollar for dollar for the same thing that the wealthier guy is paying. One of these days, I want to talk more about income taxes as well, because it's very interesting, the differences in approach from the state Senate, the Republican-led Senate, and the Republican-led House, versus what the Republican governor is proposing. There's some slight differences, but they're very interesting differences. So one of these days we'll have that conversation as well. President Matt Regeer, great to have you on the show. I think we've got Democrat Representative and House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin with us on our computer-based platform here today. I usually got to adjust the microphone settings at least once. But Representative Carlin, are you there? And thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Aaron, I am here. It's great to be back.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. I kind of opened up by asking President Regeer, what are the biggest things that are moving this week when it comes to legislation? So from your standpoint as House Minority Whip, what do you see moving in the House?
So I'll tell you what I am really excited about today is that we're going to have House Appropriations voting on two out of the three major property tax bills. One of those bills is my property tax bill, which would provide for, thousands of dollars in tax relief for families for a household earning $75,000 a year with a $4,500 tax bill. They'd be getting well over $1,000. So we're going to be voting on that today, and that's something I'm real excited about.
You know, I was off air. I was talking with President Regeer, and, I had what I thought was a good question for you earlier this morning. And, of course, I didn't write the stinking question down, so it totally escaped me. But it's such a fast update that we've got here anyway that that's all right. So I asked President Regeer, I said, hey, what question do you think would be a good question to throw to the Democrat side of the aisle? And he said this. He said, ask about the current ending fund balance, or what the latest budget surplus estimate is, revenue surplus, for lawmakers in Helena. And because I've asked the governor about this before, and I don't recall ever getting a precise number, but President Regeer told me it's about, $1.4 billion over the next biennium?
Yeah, that's a good question. The last figure I heard was lower than that. It was under a billion, but it also changes based on the revenue estimate. Like, we look at data for what we're expecting, just broad economic data. So I'd have to look at what the latest number is, but I could definitely get back to you on that. I just have to look at the latest revenue estimate.
Yeah, I just find that fascinating because, after cutting taxes last session, cutting taxes the session before, once again, this shows like, wow, the revenue just continues to flow in. And so maybe we can step our foot on the gas pedal even further when it comes to property tax relief, income tax relief, et cetera.
Oh, I think that there's real opportunities for tax relief. But, my hope is, I think the first thing we need to address that I hear from my constituents is property tax. And I think we got to fix that before we start talking about other taxes.
Yeah. What about other spending, too?
Oh, I think there's lots of opportunities when it comes to trying to rein in some spending. I mean, right now, there's a lot of money that's been with the executive branch, and I'd like to make sure that we've got more accountability on that.
Yeah. Speaking of spending, that budget surplus obviously frees up some more room for lawmakers to more easily press that yes button on property tax relief, income tax relief, et cetera, but also on, some spending proposals as well. I saw one headline from the Liberal Daily Montana had this headline: bills to boost starting teacher pay and offer school choice are both advancing in the House right now. Obviously, boosting entry-level teacher pay, this is something I hope both Democrats and Republicans agree on. I mean, for decades, this has been really a problem for Montana. Our neighboring states, like, the more energy-producing states like Wyoming and the Dakotas, because they, utilize their natural resource industries, they've been able to pay entry-level teachers more. And I know guys that went to Wyoming for their entry-level teacher jobs specifically for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, so we had a bill, the STARS Act, bipartisan, and I believe every Democrat voted for it on the House floor, and most Republicans did. So I would say increasing the wages of starting teacher pay is definitely bipartisan. I will say that our House Democrats have several bills to also support schools in other ways when it comes to school funding. Like, I've got a bill on special ed pre-K funding. And so we'd like to see more than just boosting starter teacher pay, but it's a good start.
When we hear this term school choice, I've heard about, I haven't gotten a chance to visit this. There's like an international focused school in Missoula. I don't know if you've ever visited it. So it's technically a private school, but they love, Missoula has such a great international flavor to it, right? With the campus there. And so they teach, a variety of foreign languages and cultures, kind of a cool concept. So that's an example of a private school that provides a cool opportunity to people in Missoula that they may not get in the public schools. there's proposals like expanding this scholarship program, not only for private schools like that one, but also for public schools as well. Do you see some of your fellow caucus members also supporting those types of school choice proposals?
You know, House Democrats are really concerned about any use of public money that's not going to public schools. And so we have school choice. Families can enroll their kids in whatever school they want to. They can homeschool them. But where we draw the line is that we shouldn't be spending public money, taxpayer money, on schools that don't have public oversight.
But in this example, it wouldn't be public money, wouldn't be, money that has sent to Helena in revenue. This would be we, the people, getting to hold on to our own money and choosing to contribute to a scholarship program.
But this is money that would be coming, right? It's a tax write-off. This is money that would be coming to the state. It has to be made up for by other taxpayers. And so that's why kind of where we draw the line is, again, any family can educate their kid however they choose. But I don't think we should be using the tax system to influence that decision.
All right. Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, House Democrat Minority Whip. We got a couple minutes here before we get to the hard break. What else do you want to tell folks about all across Montana?
You know, we had a bill yesterday, a bill hearing on mobile homes to strengthen rights for the thousands of Montanans in mobile home parks. And I know that you're over in Billings, and I've heard a lot from folks in Billings. And I will just say that if this is an issue that any of your listeners care about, I'd recommend they reach out to their legislators. So I think that we've got a bipartisan opportunity to keep affordable housing affordable for lots of people.
Well, and then also, you know, reach out, talk to folks like John Sinrud with the Montana Landlords Association as well, with any property rights concerns on that front as well. But, yeah, we've got to do whatever, we've definitely got to focus on more affordable housing, that's for sure. Representative Jonathan Carlin, speaking of Missoula, I think after this, I was able to catch up with U.S. Senator Steve Daines, and one of the things I talked with him about was the return of American Mark Fogel. He was held in Russia for the past several years and has now been released, which is, you know, speaking of Missoula, his sister lives in Missoula, and so I know that's great news for his family back here in Montana.
Absolutely. It is great news, and nice to see, Americans come home.
All right. Representative Carlin, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us for our weekly legislative update. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Coming up after this. Yeah, I mentioned I got a chance to catch up briefly with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. I'll share some highlights from that conversation. But really, we've got the phone lines open for you in this second half of the show. If you got something you want to talk about, maybe it's a legislative update of your own. Maybe you want to respond to some of the conversations we've had in the first half of the show. Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. And again, for our listeners in eastern Montana, come see us in Glendive at the Gate Show tomorrow.
This is where Montana Talks at. With Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump's administration nominated former Wyoming Game and Fish Director to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Brian Nesvick retired from his post as the Wyoming Game and Fish Director in early 2024 and returned to his ranch near Pinedale. And now, Trump's nomination to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is being applauded by farmers, ranchers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts across the nation. Wyoming Stock Growers Executive Director Jim McGegna said Nesvick's nomination is very positive.
There's so many of the issues out here that we deal with and that impact our industry are related to endangered species, to wildlife management, and to, frankly, to federal interference in our wildlife management. And so having someone back there who understands that the state wildlife agencies are best equipped to manage our wildlife.
Brian Nesvick's career with Wyoming Game and Fish spans some 30 years. Agriculture groups are calling his nomination, coupled with other experts from the region, the rise of the West in Washington, D.C. In other news, egg prices have jumped 250% since 2019 due to bird flu, reduced hen numbers, rising consumer demand, and cage-free mandates. So far this year, the national average is $4.15 a dozen, with a higher price expected later this year. I'm Lane Nordlund.
serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Oh, we just got a message that came in on the Montana Talks app. This came in from Fred in the Flathead. RFK Jr. confirmed as a Secretary of Health and Human Services. Man, I know who will have some fun with this one is our friend Brian Massard. Yeah, there we go. I just got the breaking news update in. But Fred in the Flathead was the first to give me the breaking news update by sending us a message on our Montana Talks app. Yeah, breaking news from Fox News. RFK Jr. confirmed as Health and Human Services Secretary. Thanks so much for that update. That is, I think, going to be great news. Oh, Senate panel. Oh, yeah, here we go. Also, Kash Patel, Trump FBI nominee. Kash Patel advances out of Senate committee. That is good news as well, because I don't know about you guys, but it's like, okay, these other ones, these other nominees are great, but look at the threats in this country. Look at the threats from outside this country. We've got internal threats. We've got external threats. Heck, even Joe Biden's FBI director said there are blinking lights everywhere when it comes to all the threats facing this country, especially because of the bad policies of the previous administration. And so we need not just any FBI director. We need Kash Patel right now, if you ask me. Now, my daughter would tell you, she'd say, don't play this song. This song is played out. Don't play this song. It's too played out, Dad. But there's this popular song on the radio right now. What is it? Oh, the song is APT. And it's by, is it Rose or Rosé and Bruno Mars? But you know, every time I hear this song, and again, my daughter, she would be embarrassed right now. She'd be like, Dad, the song is played out. Don't play it. But I'm going to play it anyway, because every time I hear this song, I think, yeah, Patel, that's right. We need Kash Patel right now. Let's get Kash Patel confirmed as FBI director. Here's the song for those of you that haven't heard it. And when you complain about the bad music selection, just know that my daughter is right there with you. Now, apparently that's a Korean drinking game song, but all I heard was get Patel in, get Patel confirmed, get Patel confirmed. That's all I hear whenever I hear that song now. So there you go. Speaking of Kash Patel, I got a chance to catch up with Montana Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning, and I asked him about that very confirmation vote. So I'll play part of that for you here in just a second. First, before I get to Frank and Evergreen, Fred in the Flathead also made this point. RFK Jr. was just confirmed. The only no Republican was Mitch McConnell. And then Fred says this, Mitch McConnell joins John McCain in canceling out whatever good they may have done. Mitch McConnell, it's just, he just needs to get out of there. He is destroying whatever good name he might still have left. And I don't even know if Mitch McConnell is even with it anymore. I mean, he is, and I'm not saying that to be mean. I think Mitch McConnell has some serious health concerns. I don't even think he knows what he is doing or how he is even voting. They had to wheel him out of the Senate the other day. He's been freezing up. I mean, it is time for Mitch McConnell to go. That much is obvious. I think he's got somebody on his staff that is really the one running things right now and running his reputation even further into the ground. All right, let's go to Frank and Evergreen on the phone lines. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Frank, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Yes, morning. What I'm talking about is the construction industry of the done by the illegal aliens here in the Flathead. Now, you don't see them quite readily across Montana because of the weather issue right now. They use lithium batteries with their nail guns, their drills, etc. So they don't work too well when it's freezing weather. They have to be taken in to a warm building with it's 70 degrees inside, and it's and then they start working again. And so what they're doing, they're working in Quonset huts, and they're framing up the walls and the floors and everything to so they can roll it all out and have it already pre-built in probably 2 days.
Well, I've had David Noble on the show, and he's a lawyer in his day job, but he also has his Twitch TV commentary, and he's on X at LectureFan, LCTRFan. And he's openly said it on the radio. He has firsthand knowledge that there are businesses in Montana that are hiring illegal aliens, especially in the construction industry. But sometimes, you don't know just by looking at somebody, just by hearing them speak even. It's hard to know whether they're here legally or illegally. But the bottom line is we know there are a whole bunch of them that are here illegally. I mean, look at the latest roundup that the Border Patrol did in Northwest Montana, right?
Yes, indeed. And a lot of these come in from Billings area. And, it's just, and they come up from, of course, from Denver, Aurora, those other areas, South Dakota, et cetera. They're not just Mexicans. Yes, you can definitely see there's a Guatemalans, Colombians, Venezuelans, and it's
Chileans. There's Chilean gangs that our guest on the show yesterday talked about. We had the former FBI Hispanic gang expert who now lives in Bozeman on the show. I mean, I was amazed, frankly, how he – if you guys missed the show yesterday – Frank, thanks for the call. If you guys missed the show yesterday, I caught up with Daniel Bruner with the Bruner Sierra Group, the former FBI Hispanic gang expert. The full audio is on our Montana Talks website right now. I've got a story there as well. But what I was shocked by, I thought when I asked him about, the three drug-related arrests in Wolf Point, Montana, the two guys with all the face tattoos, and when I asked him about the home invasion burglary with guns in Belgrade, I thought he'd say, well, it could be Tren de Aragua-related. If you read what he said, and if you listen to what he said, and if you heard me share his audio yesterday, he very clearly was like, this is Tren de Aragua. And even he was shocked because he said, look, when it was confirmed to me over a year ago that Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan prison gang, has operations in Montana, he said that was not a shock to me because I know how these guys roll. He expected them to be operating in the Bozeman area, in the Big Sky area, especially given the wealth in that area. But he said he did not expect to see Tren de Aragua connections all the way up north in northeastern Montana, on the High Line, on the Fort Peck Reservation in Wolf Point, Montana. And the point that he was making is that basically because the spotlight and the feds are all over Aurora, Colorado right now, these are my words, not his, but the cockroaches are scurrying. And what surprised him is that they've scurried as far north as Wolf Point, Montana. Now, I say that to catch you up with what we talked about yesterday. Let me tell you what Daniel Bruner is now reporting on his Substack account. He's talking about a dangerous alliance, how the Sinaloa cartel and the Hell's Angels are flooding the northern border with deadly fentanyl. That's another angle to this story that we really haven't focused on as much, is not just the fact that you've got Mexican drug cartels and now apparently Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan violent prison gang operating in northeast Montana, but it's the Hell's Angels or other, potential biker gangs that are part of these trafficking operations as well. And I highlight that not only because Daniel Bruner just did a big report about this on his Substack, but I also highlight that because I've got a contact on X, and let's just say I know the family. She grew up in northeast Montana, and she said, look, I went through a rough period in my life. I'm good now. I've turned my life around, but... And she basically talked about how she caught up with biker gangs and drugs and all sorts of crazy stuff. And so then I see this now from Daniel Bruner, and it's like, wow, the dots are all connecting, aren't they? Okay, I'll get to the a part of my conversation with Montana Senator Steve Daines right after this, talking about Mark Fogle now coming home, and he's got a sister in Missoula. Plus, what about, that APT song. Our producer, Caden, says I've now ruined that Ah Patel Patim whatever song for him, because now every time he hears it, he's going to hear, get Patel confirmed, get Patel confirmed. That more coming up right after this, right here with Montana Talks, Senator Steve Daines on Patel and more. You can message us on the Montana Talks app if you got something you want to throw out there real quick. Let's see, or we'll sneak in a call if we got time as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this was a great message from former State Senator Eric Moore out of Miles City as well. And by the way, Eric, I hope we see you in Glendive tomorrow. If you can sneak away from the ranch for a little bit to come join us, we'd love to see you down there. Regarding the Medicaid expansion conversation earlier, we talked about the need for work requirements. Former Senator Eric Moore says this, you also need an asset test for Medicaid expansion benefits. Some people are worth millions on paper, but legally receive income low enough to make them eligible. Wow, that sounds like something that should be included if they're going to renew this program any further as well. So, Senator Moore, thank you so much for sending that message in. And like I say, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Mark Fogle, it was just powerful. If you saw him at the White House, if you saw him finally land back on American soil, absolutely incredible. But I caught up with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning, and of course, Senator Steve Daines was instrumental in advocating for Mark Fogle's return from the Russian prison.
Well, what a joyful moment, and you're right, Aaron. My role here was connection to his sister, Anne, in Missoula. They've got a ranch there in southwest and western Montana. But the bottom line is President Trump did in 3 weeks what Biden couldn't do in 4 years. We've been calling for his release for years. Mark Fogle was a teacher in Moscow, Russia, to students who were sons and daughters of diplomats and other Americans working in Moscow. And he was wrongfully detained. I can tell you, you know, trying to work with Secretary Blinken under the Biden administration was banging your head against the wall. And look, you have an election, President Trump's in the Oval Office, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Steve Witkoff, who is one of Trump's closest friends. They, behind the scenes, get this deal done, and Mark Fogle's back on American soil. And what a joyful reunion for Mark and his family.
Yeah, so huge. I mean, it was kind of, even just listening to the news updates was pretty emotional, just to try to comprehend and try to imagine what he had been through in Russian captivity these past few years. And he got passed up for Brittany Griner to be returned instead. And anyway, the latest when it comes to the confirmations, everybody's wondering about Kash Patel. We can't get Kash Patel confirmed as FBI director soon enough, especially given all of the blinking lights, the security threats that are facing this country, both internally and externally.
Well, no doubt about it. And Kash is going to get through. The Democrats were able, with a procedural move on the Judiciary Committee, to delay that by 1 week. But that's going to move forward. And the good news, Aaron, is we're batting 1,000 here in supporting President Trump's nominees, getting him actually confirmed and sworn in. We are far, far ahead of anywhere we've been with the presidents in the past decade of getting cabinet nominees through and sworn in, well ahead, 2 to 3 times better than we've had in the past. Of course, you saw Tulsi Gabbard got her confirmation done yesterday, and we're doing RFK Jr. here this morning. We'll be doing Kelly Loeffler at SBA, as well as Brooks Rollins, the new Secretary of Agriculture. We'll set those votes up this afternoon so that we'll confirm early next week. You get to these time requirements of the Senate, these archaic rules that we have to abide by. But the bottom line is, what we're doing is we're locking arms as Republicans, unified, and saying, look, we can do this the hard way or the easy way, and we're not blinking, and we're forcing the Democrats. I mean, literally last night they were up all night screaming and so forth and shouting while the Senate clock is ticking, which needs to do to get these nominees through as quickly as possible. But Cash is will be moving forward here next week, and just really proud of the team sticking together, getting these nominees across the finish line. By the way, I got to say this too. It is so nice when I go down to the Senate floor that my other senator from Montana votes the same way that I do. I will tell you, I lived for many, many years. I was canceled. John Tesh and I canceled his vote. And again, that's not a personal attack against John. John and I got along great as two Montanans. We just voted very differently. And I guarantee you, John Tesh will be voting against every one of these nominees. It's so nice to have the new junior senator from Montana, Tim Sheehy, and I going down thumbs up for President Trump.
And you talk about Junior, he's not even 40 years old yet, and Pete Hegseth is, I think, the same age as me. So, you know, I feel like I'm old some days, but then I get reminded, Aaron, you're not old yet. And so I think this youth and this vibrance and this energy of Senator Tim Sheehy, fellow veterans, like, and Pete Hegseth, he's already making the military great again.
Yeah, as you see, that we've, Aaron, I'm sure you reported the show, we had a record recruiting number in December with the Army. And this just shows you, leadership matters. You get a leader, a commander-in-chief in President Trump that says, we're going to go after this nonsense DEI woke stuff and get back to the fundamental mission of the U.S. military to be the most fierce fighting force in the world. And suddenly, guess what? Those fierce warriors want to join that type of organization. And in tell you what's going on here in Washington, every day, every hour, there's something that's breaking news that President Trump and his team are doing. I mean, the news will be breaking here probably when, what he's brokering some kind of peace deal right now between Zelensky and Putin to solve the Ukraine conflict, what he's doing in Israel, the no-nonsense saying Hamas either released those hostages or all hell's going to break loose. It reminds me of those Reagan days when he became president, peace through strength. The entire world order is shifting because of the strength of America again and because of President Trump.
Yeah, I saw a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, said that Trump could be the most consequential president since Lincoln, especially for taking the sledgehammer to the establishment right now. Elon Musk and what he's doing with Doge, $1 billion a day that they're looking to cut right now. It's remarkable to see.
All right. Full audio of that chat with Senator Daines will be on the Montana Talks app. He had some breaking news about the tax cuts and more. All right. We'll see you in Glendive at the Gate Show tomorrow.
Hey.